You're wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I want you to start. I get a big hug, and I will pass on to you now. I know that he will change my words just now. But just point to him. Let us do it one time. Our way. Dr. Daly, I love you. I bless you. I behold the living Christ in you. I appreciate you. I say for yourself, I appreciate you. I appreciate me. God bless me. Thank you.
Now you got it straight.
I got it straight.
Now you got it straight. I have a problem. I walk into this auditorium, and as I stand here at your pulpit, I am bedazzled. I look out, and all I see is light. In each one of you, your light is shining so beautifully, so powerfully, and so wonderfully, it just lifts me up. She doesn't have to say a word. All she does is stand up here and stand in her light, and you stand in your light, and what a magnificent thing you've got going. It's the only thing that matters. You see, she said I was going to correct her. She has to play the game where you are. Now, today we're going to ask the question, where are you? I am in my light. I walk in my light. I go everywhere in my light. And I feel fantastic in my light. Now, can I be in your light? My light is so bright, so beautiful, so high voltage. I cannot see your light because you are my light. I see reflected my light wherever I go. And you see your light reflected wherever you go. Wherever you are, if the world is beautiful, it's because you've turned your light on. If the world is sad, it's because you've turned it off. You know, really, that's the truth. When we feel sad, we feel so down, 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 because we've turned off our light. Be the light of the world. You know, we say that we're followers of Jesus, or followers of Christ. We say that Christ is in all being, in us and in everyone. But then we say, Jesus, you do it. And that was the day that Jesus got it up to here, and he said to his disciples, hey, you're hanging on to me too much. I'm going to leave so the Comforter can come. The being within you, which is your divine self. And my whole purpose, my whole ministry, he said, is to be the way shower, to show you to your light, to turn you back into your own light. The divine light, the light of God in you, and to turn you back to the... Now, you're speaking this morning about wealth. You're speaking this morning about a wonderful body. You're speaking this morning about all sorts of good things. I won't enumerate them, but think about it. Where were you thinking those things were going to come from? Lord, help me. Now, we had an interesting thing took place just a little while ago, and that's our Catholic Pope. Remember him? Now, he was doing just fine. He's only 84 or something like that. He was doing just fine. But a number of people thought, put the old boy to rest. His way of doing things is beginning to change the church, and we don't want that. So they said, let him be released of his pain and suffering and sorrow. He had no pain, no suffering, no sorrow. Neither did Jesus. But the people weren't ready to walk in their own light. They needed to worship a living Pope, and he kept turning them to their own inner light, just like Jesus did. And so, how do you dispose of something? You say, person's dying, be released. Be released of the suffering. You don't say, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect, you're whole and perfect. You don't say the truth about them. You say the lie. You say the illusion that they might be less than whole and perfect, and you empower that. And so the church said, bye-bye, Pope. Nice to have you. Long live the new Pope. Now, have you done that? Have you done that? I told a story yesterday about my associate. She's a crazy lady, Ellen Jeremini. You've seen her before. She loves being down in Guyana. She thinks Guyana is just the craziest place in the world. She goes down there and ordains all of our new ministers down there who have taken the courses, and they're just super people, super people. Now, you're here. Now, you're not down in Guyana anymore. Guyana's a good place, but you're not there. You chose to come here. You chose to be an American. If not, you chose to live in America. Now, what is the keynote of American way of doing things? Of the people, by the people, not by the government, as it is in many countries. The government tells you when you do this and when you do that. And some of us still play the role of letting the government tell us. The government is supposed to be the representation of the highest that's within each one of us. Now, the government doesn't give us anything. We must learn to be like the Pope. And if not like the Pope, at least like Jesus. You know. We must learn to be like that. Now, what do I mean by saying be like the Pope or like Jesus? The Pope had a billion people in his congregation. Good show, huh? Good start. Okay, Pope has a billion people in his congregation. And the Pope never does this. Give me, Lord. Did he? What does the Pope do? Can anyone raise their hand in the way the Pope did? Yes, what did he do? The Pope did like this. My peace I give unto you. He said he is God. He said he is the creator of his world. He said he is the master. And he said, and so are you. So are you. Jesus said, anything that I have done, you can do, and you'll do greater things than I've ever even thought of doing. Because that wasn't in my show. If Jesus lived today, and surely does, if he lived today as a being as he was then, he'd be doing all the great things we're doing. He'd be having all the fun we're doing. And we can too. We can too. We can be so rich, so powerful, and so glorious when we start realizing we don't want it from somebody else. We want it only from ourselves, and we give it out. You stood up here this morning and you just shouted and sang and had the greatest time, didn't you? You loved it, didn't you? You just thought that was the greatest thing in the world, getting up here and just dancing and singing and sharing your love with these people. You didn't care if there was anybody in the audience because you were having fun. You were doing your thing, and that's what we should all do. We should all do our thing, love ourselves, enjoy ourselves, not do it for somebody else. If somebody else is out there, cool, you know, but it doesn't matter. When you do it for yourself, then you are great. I always remember the Reverend Dr. Evelyn John when she went up the mountain on campus and she was singing, you know, the hills are alive with the sound of music. She wasn't singing for anybody but herself. But the whole valley rang with the joy of her heart. The whole valley was lifted up, and we all looked up there, and we saw, wow, isn't she, you feel goosebumps? Yeah, isn't she wonderful? Isn't she fantastic? And then it came back to us, let's join her. The hills are alive. We all were singing, Some of us were singing as the world might appreciate it, and some of us were singing as we appreciate it. But we were giving of ourselves, and we felt wonderful. You feel wonderful every time you give. Dr. John feels wonderful every time she gives. You know why? Because she is a pitcher, a barrel, an ocean full of love. And she hasn't got any room for any more love. So she has to keep giving it out so that the love can keep bubbling up. She is full to the brim. And she keeps pouring it over the edge. Now, are you living your life full to the brim so you can pour it over the edge and so that you can have a good time and really enjoy life? No, are you doing that? If you are, it's wonderful, you know?
I'm a nutty person.
No, that's okay. I'm a nutty person. She says I can use this microphone here. I'll do these books. Why do you choose to sit in the corner there behind the pole? Why don't you move over about four chairs, and then I can see you and you can see me? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You know, he asked for my autograph. And you, Mr. Drumsticks there, you can join us too. You see, this is the wonder of living our life. I don't need to speak to all of you, but I know that part of my message is me, you know? Part of my message is the vibration that I'm giving out. And I'm giving out vibration, 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 and I'm pouring it out, and I'm loving you. Why do you think I come here? Because I want to have you behind the pole? No way. And you see, there's a couple of ladies back here, and they're sitting right in the sun. And that's good, because you see, they're standing out like beacons. Their lights are even brighter, brighter, brighter than the lights that they are within them. And they're fantastic. But always remember, you, are you man of life? Yeah. Don't, yes, that's okay. Don't put your wife behind the pole. And don't you get behind the pole. Because, you see, you are a worthwhile being. You deserve all of the glory that's being there to give it. Now, you've all heard the phrase of somebody who was rather brilliant. Boy, you were right at the head of the line when the brains were passed out, weren't you? You know? You were right at the head of the line when the love was passed out, when the brains and the joy and the peace. Well, don't get behind the pole. See? Right? Get out in front. Get out in front. Because if you allow yourself to be unaware, to be unseen, then all the love passes around and you feel empty. I want you to feel full and dynamic and glorified and blessed. Now, I wasn't kidding you. When I walked up here, I was blinded by the lights that I saw. You were a wonderful mirror of every beautiful idea that I have inside of me. And you're shining it forth so wonderfully and so beautifully. You are being who you are. You are being the perfection of God. Because that's who you are. Now, what do you want to get with all this perfection? Well, you want to get one thing, and then this is the important thing. You want to get one thing with this perfection of God. You have it all already. Now you want to use it and live it. If you walk around as though you don't have it, then you won't use it and you won't enjoy it. Now, I told you about my associate. She walked in the room. I had this lady that I was counseling with, and she had her baby in her arms, and the baby was just about dead, you know. And she was in a fit because the child was so sick. But then that
stupid associate of mine comes in there, not realizing the seriousness of the situation, and she says, "What a beautiful little baby. May I hold that little baby? What a charming child. What a lovely child." She took the child in her arms, and the child opened his eyes and stuck his tongue out at her, you know? And wiggled his arms and legs, and that child was not sick or dead. Because Ellen didn't see the child that way. Now the lady was so close to it. Her doctor had said, "Well, you know," which was okay. That's what she expected the doctor to say. And her friends and her world all told her, "Oh, your child's got this or that. You know, that's going around now." But silly Ellen, she went up to that lady and that child, as she does to all children. She says, "How's the little genius today? How's the little angel today? How's the little sweetheart today?" And you see, life returned. "Hey, your child looks like he's dying." Yeah, who wants to hear that? You know, you do. You do. You silly, silly people. You do every time you feel sorry for yourself. Every time you feel there's something in your life you can't do, you're empowering that. You're empowering that. You know, this is a Sunday, right? And this is a tithing day, right? And so all of you have come here knowing that this is Sunday and this is tithing day. And so you've all got your checkbooks ready, or credit cards, or whatever you're going to use to accept everything. Now, you've got them all ready. And so you come up here and you say, "Well, it's been a bad year, and I've only made $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, you know. It's been this kind of a year. And, you know, it is done unto you according to your belief. If you will pour out your riches to the development of your spiritual life and to the place that helps you develop your spiritual life will grow." I went to Farmington, New Mexico, and I was speaking at a seminar there. And my seminar was exceptionally happy for the people. And the director of the program said to me, "Dr. Hardy, what can we do? There's no way we can pay you what your talk is worth." And I said, "Well, then just give me $30 million. "What? $30 million? I said, "Yeah." I said, "You know, you asked." And so I said, "Just write me a check for $30 million. He said, "But I can't." I said, "You can do it. It's just a piece of paper with numbers on it, you know." And he wouldn't do it. And so I said to him, "You know, if you had given me a check for $30 million, I would have donated that check to your church and to your organization. Because that's the kind of check that is. It's a donating check. Now, what would happen to him and to his organization if he went to them and he said, 'You know, we just received a donation today of $30 million. They say, "Wow, are we rich?" "Yes, you always were. But yes, you are." And so what does she say? She says, "We are so rich. I'm going to take that $30 million and I'm going to donate it to the Red Cross." "Oh, no, don't do it. We can use it to build a new church and do this." No. We keep it flowing. The new church is not going to come from the money that we have. It's going to come from the consciousness of this group. The new church is not going to come from the dollars that we can receive from any one source. It's going to be there for us from the most beautiful, surprising, delightful ways. Our consciousness. Now, where is your consciousness? You have a glorious church here. This is a beautifully maintained church. It's a very lovely church. It's got a lot of room for a lot of people in here. And you can even have an overflow crowd downstairs if you want, with television down there so they can see what's going on up here, you know? We did that in several of the churches that I've been in, and it's kind of fun. But the consciousness of you is the consciousness of your church. Now, if you have the consciousness of abundance, you will have abundance. And then you shine that consciousness onto your spiritual organization. And they have abundance. Now, you say, well, you're talking around the barn, you're talking silly stuff, you're talking things that just do not work. They do too. They do too. They work very beautifully. To him who hath is given...
Oh, Herb, stop that nonsense. That's dumb stuff. To him who hath is given, and to him who hath not, that which little he has is taken away from him. That's stupid stuff. That's stuff.
Jesus said it. Oh, okay. Sorry, Jesus. You see, we run away from the knowledge that we have. I don't know what you believe here. I think I do. Do you believe in the words of Jesus? Do you believe that they are true and that they are given and they always function? Then why do you say, I'm sick sometimes to yourself? You shouldn't do that. You should always say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect. Why do you say that you're sad sometimes because things aren't going your way? I don't know. Nobody came to my birthday party. How wonderful. I celebrated alone.
Ooh,
did I eat that cake? Yeah. But you see, always find the good in it. The Pollyanna, if you will. You see, that's what the master teacher taught. But are you ready to hear it and learn from it and live it? And the answer is no. You're not ready to do that until you're ready to put your life on the line for what you believe. If you stub your toe, can you say, I'm home perfect, I'm home perfect, I feel fine, fantastic. Can you say that? You can't say it, but do you? If you see, okay, you saw the 9/11 thing, and you said, oh, how terrible. What would Jesus have said? He would say, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Every time an earthquake rumbles or a tornado tumbles, every time those things happen, you say, oh, or do you say, all is in divine order? You see, you have to practice the teachings of Jesus. You have to practice these things that we have been given over the centuries. And those who do practice them, they benefit greatly from it. They may not say, I'm doing the teachings of Jesus, but they're doing them. Jesus says, man, know thyself, believe in yourself. Love yourself, like yourself. Say, I like me, I like me, I like me. Say, I love me, I love me, I love me. And you see, as Reverend John was saying here, she says, I may disagree with her. And the disagreement comes from the point of, if I say, and you love me, and we love each other, let me tell you a little secret. Jesus absolutely loved himself. He didn't give a hoot and holler in hell about his mommy and daddy or anybody else. He just loved himself. He was a messiah. There's lots of messiahs around at that time. And he scared the living daylights out of his mother and dad because they thought, oh, he's going to be another kooky character, you know, going around here pretending that he's a messiah. They didn't really know he was the Messiah, even though they knew of his special birth, even though they knew of all the things that came to him through his lifetime. But Jesus himself said, a prophet is without honor in his own town. You see, you don't know what you've got here in Reverend John. You don't know what wonderful Messiah you have here. What a wonderful master, what a wonderful teacher you have here, what a wonderful sharer. You know why you don't know? Because she just goes around letting her light shine, and if you haven't got your light turned on, you can't appreciate it. Because if you come around her with sadness, you're a sapper. And you'll sap some of her light, but you won't get better. But if you come around her and you say, Reverend John, I am so happy, and Reverend John says, I see you happy. I see you filled with life and power. You know, she's got her phrase. Really nice. Can you say that for yourself? That's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're supposed to do. That's what the teaching is of the eternal principles that we're living by. I talked to a young man Claude last night. Very brilliant young fellow. And every time I'd bring up a subject, he'd bring up a counter subject. And we talked back and forth on the ideas, and they were very good. And what he did, he walked himself right out of relativity into absolute. And you see, if you walk yourself right out of relativity into absolute, you will find that you will have everything, you will need, want nothing, you will experience all the goodness that life is, because you see, in the relative, and that's what most of us live, unfortunately, in the relative, it's a will come, will be, we can have it happen. In the absolute, it is already done. It is already complete. It is already fulfilled. Jesus was getting into absolute teaching in his philosophy toward his latter part of his ministry, and people just didn't understand him. They didn't understand him. And they didn't understand him because they did not want to let go. As he said to the rich man, take all that you have and sell it. Now, why did he say sell it? Because once you sold it, you can't take it back. And then he said, take all the money you got from selling all that you sold and give it to the poor, because you can't take it back from the poor. You know? Because the poor have the slipperiest hands in town. The money goes in their hands and out as quick as it goes in. And there's no calling it back. Wealthy people, they have little sacks that they keep it in. they keep the money around in their consciousness and in their usefulness. But poor people, they're always going to be poor because their hands are so slippery it just slides right through. They don't know how to hold on to it. And you know that. Lottery winners, why do they win the lottery? They don't know what to do with the money, you know? Just a year later, they're poorer off than they were before they won the lottery. This happens because we do not realize that all is ours right now. And the richest people on earth are not the people with the most money. They're the people who have everything in their heart. They're the people who live their life so dramatically, dynamically, fully, that every single thing that they ever dream about, they are demonstrating. Now, what do you want to demonstrate? You come here and you say, it's a nice church, enjoy being here, good consciousness here, good attitude here, good people here. I feel very much at home here. And that's your difficulty. You feel at home here. Do you pick up after yourself at home? Do you put your clothes away? Do you dust the table and dust the chair? Do you come up here and you take a nice cloth and wipe out the piano? It's full of dust, you know. Why, you know, all of you are able to do these things. How many of you come here and give your physical love to help this house, which is your house? How many of you come into your own houses and clean it up? You expect other people to do it. If I walked into your house right now, what would I see? I'd go into your closet, you know? And what would I find in your closet? I would find more clothes that you will ever wear in a lifetime. And clothes that you got behind clothes, you know. And you don't wear it, you don't want it, but it's fine, it's fine, it's fine, don't take it from me, you know. And when we can start releasing this thing, being part of the flow. I was at a lady's house over in New Jersey, and she said, Herb, I want to show you my closet. And I thought to myself, I know what I'm going to see, unfortunately. So she opened the door. There was a walk-in closet, two sides and the end, loaded with dresses, beautiful dresses, but you couldn't tell because they were packed in so. And all over the floor and hanging up the doorway and hanging were shoes, 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 shoes. And I thought to myself, when are you ever even going to look at those shoes, much less wear them? Give them away. Keep a few things that delight you and wear them. But start emptying yourself of these things that you have as a possession. Now, I'm going to mention another thing which is not very nice.
Get rid of those old husbands of yours. Get rid of those old wives of yours. See what I mean. Get rid of those old husbands and those old wives that you're not enjoying anymore. And start creating. It's not that easy. And start creating new ones. Start creating new ones. Here's this man you've been married to for 25 years, and he has gotten to be rather, you know, commonplace. Nothing special about him. When you married him, he was Mr. Dynamite, Mr. Smoothie, you know, and everything else like that. Now, right now, inside of him is still that young fella, is still that young chunk of dynamite, right inside of him. It doesn't matter what his physique is or what clothes you wear, he's still there. So when you take your attention and remember, not necessarily remember the fantastic guy he is, but look at him and every day start counting the wonderful things that he is and does. Within a month's time, you will have created a new husband. Not finished yet, yet long work to do, but a new husband who is really fantastic. And the same for wives. You know, men leave their wives because other women look more interesting. Why do those other women look more interesting? Because they don't own you. See, these other women don't own you. They love you just the way you are. You like that, huh? They love you just the way you are. And that's the beautiful thing of it. They love you just the way you are. And perhaps that's something you should take into account. Whenever we possess clothing, we have a bunch of old rags in the closet. Really, they're good stuff, but we don't wear them. It's just something I had in the closet. Been there 10, 20 years, you know. And my figure's going up and down, so I mellow in and out between them, you know. Well, whatever you want. If you have a husband who is kind of different, did you ever say to your husband, "Sweetheart, when you walk into the house, I feel alive again. Your vibration just make this house into a wonderful place." And when your wife comes into your presence, you come home from work and you say, "Boy, I've been surrounded by beautiful women all day long and beautiful people all day long, but you know, sweetheart, they can't compare to you. You're special." Now, what would you do if your husband said that to you or your wife said that to you? What would you do? You say, "Oh." Well, do that. Do that. This is what Jesus said. Now, Jesus talked about husbands and wives? No, he didn't. Jesus didn't even know about marriage. Marriage is not even in the Bible. Marriage is something that common law creates and stuff. But what did Jesus say? He said, agree with your adversary quickly. And so, if your husband does something stupid, you just say, "Well, sweetheart, what do you think I should do about it? You've always got such good judgment. Oh, well, I thought you're really okay." You know, all of a sudden, he's agreeing with you. Or the other way around. It doesn't matter. Husband, wife, wife, husband. Agree with your adversary. And don't think of them as an adversary necessarily, but agree with whatever they say is, you know, your slip is showing. Oh, thank you. You know, I would have felt so terrible not knowing that it was showing. Of course, nowadays, our dresses are so unique and strange, you never know what's showing. But that part's okay. So, but when your husband or your wife says something lovely to you, take that loveliness right to heart and say, "Oh, you're so thoughtful. You're so wonderful." You know, did your wife or your husband ever come into the house with a chunk of dirt in their hand and say, "You know, sweetheart, we've got wonderful soil in our yard, in our garden, in our whatever, in our pots here at the side of the window. We have wonderful soil in there. How do you keep that soil so fresh and so rich and so beautiful?" And you just say, with a lot of love, "Well, you know how to do that, that's for sure." You see, these are the words of the Master Teacher. He covered every avenue of life. He covered every segment of our being. And he left us a legacy.
And it's called being Christed. And every being on the face of the earth is Christed, whether they're Christian or not. Because he is the eternal presence and the living being that we are. And when we recognize that, then we will start acting like the divine that we are. And when you're divine, you're great. I told Dr. John here, I said, I found out something about you the other day. And she said, oh, what did you find out? She didn't say, oh. She said, oh, what did you find out? Because everything that I find out about her is good, you can be sure about that. And I said, I found out that you really are a princess. You come from the royal family. And you are the last of the line of that royal family, and they have this tremendous estate that belongs to you. And you are to be the monarch of that country. And she says, oh, I don't want a job like that. And instead of saying, wow, how great, let's investigate. Let's see what it is. How many people would I have in my congregation there? How many people would I be sharing these wonderful truths with, you know? And you too. Each one of you, your heir. Each one of you is of a royal line. Each one of you is divine. And start claiming your heritage today by saying, I am whole and perfect. By saying, I am wonderful. By saying, I like me. By saying, I am the creator of my world, and my world is good and very good. I mean, God said that, you know. And ever since he said it, we've been trying to tear it apart. Now, are you going to say that for yourself? Are you going to say that you are good and very good? You're the creator of your world? You know, you have the opportunity to live the most bountiful, beautiful, fulfilled life of anyone on the face of the earth if you want to do it. But all you have to do is to learn three little words. Anyone tell me what it is? I like me. The minute we start liking ourselves, the doors of heaven open wide and pour upon us blessings that we could never have dreamed possible. Are you ready for those blessings in your life?
Yes.
Well then, shut up. Herb, how you talk. Shut up. Don't lie. Don't say, I'm poor, I'm sick, I'm unhappy, I got problems. Say, I am rich, I am whole and perfect. You know, every organ, action, function of my body is whole and perfect. I like to use the word, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Because when I say that, I don't know what ideal means, but I know it's good. And so I say, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal, join the spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Okay, now, spirit, what is that? That's our reality, that's our absolute quality, which is always perfect. You can't do a thing about it nicely. Body, mind, those are the relative things. Can you imagine this one little thought? If you are a human being and you're living in your body, how many cells do you have in your body? Billions. Billions. You're like Bill Gates. You can't count your money. Too much. Okay, you got billions of cells. Now, if you say, I am the allness, you say, well, that's kind of broad and grand and great. But if you say, I am the relative, I am omniscient, I know everything, I am omnipotent, I am everywhere present, I am all these wonderful statements, then we are limiting ourselves. Because if you knew every cell in your body, you'd be like the centipede, you couldn't walk. If you knew every cell in your body, you couldn't do, but your divine self knows every cell. Now your divine self is waiting to hear what you think of your creation. Oh, I hurt here, I hurt there. Your divine self says, okay, you're the creator, you're in charge. If you're going to say, I hurt, then the divine self says, that's what I have to perform for you. So it makes you hurt. When you say, I'm whole and perfect, the divine says, hey, that's my cup of tea, I like that. I know all about being whole and perfect. That's right where I'm at. And when you say that, then you are that. You see, your body does not need to know about the little things that happen. The little things that you do. I have a woman who is very wonderful, just recently joined the activity, and she had been injured. She had a guru, a friend that she was taking care of, and she went out shopping. When she came back, the house was on fire. And so she ran into the house. She was some 70 years old at the time. She ran into the house and grabbed his wheelchair and pulled his flaming wheelchair out of the house. Well, he died of burns. She had burns all over her, very bad. She went to the hospital. In the hospital, they said, wow, you are a case. And they worked on her. And within a year, they had all of her skin properly replaced, sewn back, growing. And within 2 years, she was out and around and enjoying life. And now she is 87, 88 years old. She's running around delivering sweet rolls to the aged. Right now she's doing everything. She is following her spiritual path. And she says, hey, this is exactly what I want, is what you're teaching. But you see, if she had to tell every cell of her body how to reorganize itself, how to replant the skin, you know, so that it would grow, and so she would be just perfect, she'd been very busy. Besides which, she hadn't trained herself to do that. But she did train herself to say, all is in divine order. You call her a noble lady running in and saving this man from the fire. Well, she'll probably hear this. I don't want to hear this, but she's going to hear it anyhow. She's a stupid lady. Because she hadn't learned that all is in divine order. All is in divine order. Now, you New Yorkers, you looked at the television when the 9/11 thing was going on. Instead of saying, all is in divine order, just imagine that all of New York and all of the world, when they saw this on television, all is in divine order. Do you think a spiritual healing could have taken place and the building were back, all those things were at their normal place? Oh, Herb, that is silly. Yes, it is. At our level of consciousness, it's very silly. But when the devil came to Jesus and said, hey, you follow me, and I'll let you have these grand cities, I'll let you do anything you want to do. And Jesus said to him, I already can do anything I want to do. I don't have to be contrary to the world, contrary to myself, contrary to anything. I speak my word and it is done, because the Father in me, the divine in me, God that I am, instantly does anything I ask. Now, because you live in a world of humans who are running afraid of their shadow, we used to be a country where you could even leave your doors unlocked. I guess New York started locking them up before a lot of places did, but we used to live in a place where you can leave your doors unlocked. And let's return in our consciousness to that area. Remember? Let's return in our consciousness to the area of all is in divine order. And if you want to, you can have it right now. Right now. All is in divine order. Your kid comes in with a scratched knee, all is in divine order. People come with problems to you, and you say, all I can say is all is in divine order. The God in you knows exactly what to do to take care of that situation. Now, let go and let God. Well, who said that? That sounds like a good statement, doesn't it? Let go and let God. Let go and let God. Let go and let the divine in you reveal everything that's beautiful and good. And when you do, you'll be fantastic. I don't want to spend too much of your time here, but I'm enjoying you very much. And you're a very wonderful congregation and a very wonderful audience. And my usual fare is to go for 6 days, 4 hours a day, plus 3-hour meditation in the morning and evening meditations, and they're wonderful. Can you do that? Do you like to do that? Do you want to live these principles 4 hours a day or more? You can do it. You can do it. And you can feel wonderful. You can feel glorious. Because it is done unto me according to my belief. What is your belief about yourself? Do you believe it's worthwhile to see me while I'm talking? Or to be behind the post? And our drummer boy here, he's so brilliant. He has such a smooth attitude about him. And yet he hit behind the post. He says, I can take so much of this, but beyond that, I'm liable to, get bursted over and people say, you doing these things? Hey, when you start doing these things, everybody in your world will be doing them too, and you will see that for the first time. We don't see that everybody else in the world is doing all these beautiful things because we're not doing them. Because we feel, well, if I walk down the street like it, I should, and we demonstrated this yesterday, I'm whole and perfect, 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 I'm whole and perfect. You see, chin up, chest out, shoulders back. We feel whole and perfect. If you ever have a condition where you feel sick, then stand up straight and say, I'm whole and perfect. You know, the doctors are getting wise. They used to say, stay in bed, stay in the hospital. But they were running out of hospital space, so they had to, they didn't need you in the hospital anymore to fill it. They had other people ready to come in. So they kick you out. They say, go home. You had your baby yesterday, you had your baby today. Pick up the kid and go home, you know. And you say, well, my goodness sakes, you know. Can't we even stay the night? No, we got other needs in your bed. I have one of my dear friends, she went to the hospital. She was 87, something like that. I had a lot of interesting people in my world. And she went to the hospital because her tailbone was acting up. And when she got there, they did something to it. They put a bandage on her tailbone. You can imagine it. They did it. And then they sent her home. And she was doing just fine. And then she had another problem. She went back there. And I didn't know there were two tailbones, but there's another part of the tailbone that they had to put a bandage on. So they put a bandage on that. Now she's perfect. She's doing just fine. Before that, she was walking around with her canes and her pusher and all that stuff. But she changed her mind. She called me and said, Herb, we've been together since 1972. And she says, Herb, what can I do? And I said, you want to live, you want to die? Well, I want to live. Okay, then say you're whole and perfect. But. I said, say you're whole and perfect. You know that. You've taken the courses. But I'm suffering it myself right now. Say you're whole and perfect. Say you're whole and perfect. Okay, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole. And she sat up and she felt just wonderful. And the doctors did their little thing with her, and boom, she's done. Boom, she's done. You see, the doctors want to get rid of you out of the hospital, and not necessarily in the graveyard, but they want to get rid of you. And that's good. That's very good, because then you're on your own, and you're doing what you should be doing. Like one woman said, how come, all your kids got the flu, and and all these things there, and you never get diseases or colds or stuff. I haven't got time to be sick. I got to take care of the kids. Well, now that part's good, but she should also say, my kids are whole and perfect too. You know, see, sometimes we forget our kids are our charge, and we chose to have them. We chose to experience them in our life. It's up to us now to start recognizing that our kids are whole and perfect too. One beautiful thought leads to another. If we could start recognizing that our children from birth already know everything, and they're merely developing the vehicle through which to express the everything that they know. And just as soon as they start having the ability to express everything they know, we tell them they don't know. We tell them you got to go to school and learn. We tell them that who do you think you are? You know, you don't know everything. Kids, I know everything. I know everything. And we say, no, you don't. No, you don't. We should not do that, right, son? We should say to our mom and dad should say to us, okay, you know everything. Now listen to the divine in you and follow what it says. You see, the trouble is we think it's us that knows everything and not the divine in us. And if we can start labeling our awareness, the divine in us, then whatever we do will be beautiful and good. But if we don't label it the divine in us, then we're in trouble. And that's where it all starts and ends. I'd like to share with you for another 5 or 6 hours, and we would begin to start touching on the wonderful and important things of life. But if you, each one, can remember what happened to me when I came in here, and open your eyes, in fact, look around you right now, and look at the lights shining around you, look at the people. Do you see their light shining, or do you just wish you could? And are you going to say, yeah, I see it just because Herb sees it, so I want to see it. Start looking. The more you look, the more you'll see it. If you don't look for it, you're liable to miss it, because you say, it's too good to be true. You know? It's too wonderful to be true. And the more you look, the more you'll see it. Now, look at every little child and say, there's a genius. Look at every person that you talk to all day long, whoever it may be, your family, your friends, your relative, your workers, or whoever you're with, and just say, I behold the Christ in you. I behold the Christ in you. And as you do that, wow, that light shines so bright, so brilliant, that you'll be like Saul on the road to Damascus. You too have denied the Christ. And now is the time to proclaim him. And then have the vision come to you on the road to your Damascus, which says, why do you go against me? What have I done to you? You know? And the answer comes back from us. If I follow you, I'm going to have to leave behind all of the old nonsense that I lived by all of my life and start being a beautiful person. And I don't know if I can handle that. But I know you can handle it, because you have a wonderful guide on your path. And if you will give your attention to Reverend John here, but not only that, there is a statement, what makes the church grow? And the answer is not the minister, not anything else, but it's people bringing other people, word of mouth, to church. So if every Sunday, each one of you brought another person, all of a sudden, you'll find that there are lots of beautiful people. And I wouldn't be surprised, what do you have here in New York, Yankee Stadium or something? I wouldn't be surprised if every Sunday at Yankee Stadium, we filled it with all the people here who have found the truth within themselves and are ready to live it so dramatically that they bring a friend. And when you bring a friend, don't tell them what they're going to hear. Just tell them, hey, you got to come and hear this. This is special. And then when Reverend John opens her mouth, they'll say, wow, I didn't know she knew how to pull teeth. She pulled out all the old teeth, all the decayed stuff, and she didn't put anything in your place. I did. I popped the new teeth into place. All she did was to make me ready. Are you ready? Let's close our eyes for a moment and recognize that we are whole, complete, and divine right now. We are the glorious center of the universe right now. We are everything good and beautiful right now. And because we're everything good and beautiful right now, everything that we give to the world, we give out of our infinite inner self. We give our blessing. We say, all is in divine order, and there is peace on earth. All is wonderful, and it is done. All is good, and it is done. This is our choice. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable. You see, let our words, let our thoughts be acceptable in the infinite, speaking out always, revealing purity, goodness, right action, and truth at all times. And we are lifted up. And if I be lifted up, all the world is lifted up unto me. Know that I love you. I treasure every moment I have with each of you. And I delight in your presence because I know that while I am God, I know that. You are God, and I know that. And I see you knowing that you are God, acting like God, being fulfilled in all things as God is, because you're wonderful. And so it is. I want to sing this song to you. I know your choir is very busy singing songs, but I like to sing songs. And this is the peace song. We've had it before, but here's how it goes. Are you ready? Now there is peace on earth. Don't sing it with me. Don't sing it with me. If you sing it with me, you're singing another version. I have worked on this version and rewritten it. It's for you. I'm going to give this book to her, and if she wants to do something with it, then that's great. If not, then that's great too. But the music is okay. Now there is peace on earth, for it began with me. Now there is peace on earth, the peace that is meant to be. I am God the Creator, one as all my world, walking as my creation in perfect harmony. Now there is peace in all, for this is the moment now. With every step I take, I offer my solemn vow. I take each moment and live each moment in peace eternally. Now there is peace on earth, for it began with me. Thank you. And now I'm going to let our lady over here, who has her strong words, come out, and then have you sing it after she phrases it for you, okay? You know how to do it? You're great, aren't you? Bottom that first picture. Strong words. Thank you.
beautiful.
And we go straight into our tithing. And remember, what you have to do, as we receive, we give. So we will have a special offering for Dr. Barry.
At Christmas time, you buy early. At Christmas time, you buy early. Buy early at Christmas time. That's Herb Buy Early's name. Buy early at Christmas time.
Dr. Buy Early.
And send presents.
Okay, the first two verses of number 44.
Yeah.